It is a joy
to be able to be here together and to be under God's word. It is a shield. It is our protection. And we want to be rooted and grounded in the truth of God's word and the goodness of the gospel that has been lavished upon us in Jesus Christ by his Holy Spirit. I'm continuing in my series in the book of Matthew. And as I've mentioned before, Matthew, as one of the disciples, is keenly concerned about several themes, one of which is the proclamation of the kingdom of God. So in the teaching of Jesus and in the acts, the miracles, the healings of Jesus, there is this concern for pointing the hearer of the word or the reader of the word to the king whose kingdom is being proclaimed. And in the text today, we see that again. Jesus is doing good work. In fact, it's not just in Israel that he's doing it. Ha! Our call to worship today was sing a joyful song, all you nations, for his salvation has been revealed to the nations. And in this text that we're going to look at today, Jesus and the disciples are going to the nations and proclaiming the kingship of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So let us give our full attention to the reading of God's word from the Gospel of Matthew in the 8th chapter, beginning with verse 28. And when he, that is Jesus, came to the other side, to the country of the Gadarenes, two demon-possessed men met him coming out of the tombs, the cemetery, so fierce that no one could pass that way. And behold, they cried out, "What have you to do with us, O Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the time?" Now a herd of many pigs was feeding at some distance from them. And the demons begged him, saying, "If you cast us out, send us away into the herd of pigs." And he said to them, "Go." So they came out and went into the pigs, and behold, the whole herd rushed down the steep bank into the sea and drowned in the waters. The herdsmen fled, and going into the city, they told everything, especially what had happened to the demon-possessed man. And behold, all the city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they begged him to leave their region. This is the word of the Lord. As we talked about a couple of weeks ago, Jesus said, "Hey, we're going to the other side. Let's get in the boat." You'll recall that there was a big storm, and the disciples were afraid that they were all going to drown. And they said to Jesus, who was sleeping, "Don't you care? We're all going to die." And Jesus stood up, and he spoke words of peace. Peace. And the storm was silenced. My brothers and sisters, my prayer for you is that whatever storm you're going through in your life right now, whether it is a health storm, whether it is a relational storm, whether it is a personal storm, that you would hear the words of our faithful, loving Savior. Peace, peace be upon you. But Jesus had some business to conduct, and it wasn't just in teaching the disciples, who were of little faith. And who of us can say we have great faith? Aren't we really those disciples in the storms of life? And then we want to pray and cry out to Jesus, increase our faith. And we see Jesus doing things that, in fact, increase their faith. So they're on the Sea of Galilee. I think I mentioned to you before, at least I did in our Bible study on Tuesday, that the Sea of Galilee is a lake that is 13 miles long and about 7 miles wide. On any given day, in that time, 2,000 years ago, there were probably 300 fishing vessels plying their trade, trying to earn a living. And so they're going across this somewhat large lake, and they're in Capernaum, and they go exactly diagonally to the bottom of the lake. Now that's the region of the Gadarenes, Gadara. There were 10 cities there.
the Decapolis, and it was predominantly a Gentile region. You know how the Jewish people had come in and out of the land of promise, had been sent into exile, and there were attempts by the governing authorities to mix up with heathen, pagan, foreign people, the pure people of Israel. So there were lots of Gentiles living in that region. And Jesus has business to conduct because he wants to declare the good news of the gospel not just to the people of Israel, but to all the nations of the world. So we see in this text, Matthew is saying, Christ is proclaiming the kingdom, and it's not just for you people of Israel, it's for everybody. And so they come to the other side, to Gadara, and they meet, according to this text, two men that are demon-possessed. These men have been living amongst the tombs. These men evidently were so vicious and so violent that people were afraid to get near to them. In another rendition of this story in the Gospel of Luke, it says that the governing authorities or someone tried to restrain them with shackles, but these people were so strong, being empowered, if you will, by these demons that lived within them, they tore their shackles. People were afraid to go near them. Is Jesus afraid to go near them? No, because Jesus is the king, and he has power. So, out of the mouth of one of these men, what are you doing here, O Son of God? Jesus said, what is your name? Our name is Legion. Do you know how many soldiers there were in a Roman legion? 6,000. I do not know if there were exactly 6,000 demons possessing these two men. But the idea is that they were possessed, demonized by a host. And they were miserable and broken, running around amongst the tombs, naked, hurting themselves, cutting themselves. That's what the enemy of our souls is trying to do. You realize that he is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And we must take this text very seriously. Even today, people are demonized. Because in the spiritual world, there are fallen angels, what the scripture calls devils or demons. And it is their business to make the lives of God's beautiful image bearers miserable. And that is what has happened to these two men. Broken, hurting, demonized. And so there's a conversation between Legion and the Son of God. And they say, why have you come here? What is your business, O Son of God? I think that's pretty important that that's written in there. Even the devils recognize the presence of the King. We sang just a little bit about the Son of God. I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you came to save us all. And I believe that you're here now, standing in our midst. And that's the case with these two demonized men. Jesus the King standing right in the midst. And they're saying things like, have you come to make our lives miserable before the time? What does that mean, before the time? In Revelation, we see that at the end of time, God is going to wipe away every tear. And he's going to undo every wrong. And his promise in the Word of God is that all of these hosts, led by Lucifer himself, will be cast into a sea of death, fire, the second death, where they will be utterly destroyed. And they're like, hey, we know that day is coming, but you can't do that now. It's not our time. And Jesus, remarkably, in this conversation says, so what do you want me to do about it? I'm reading into the text, and they're like, hey, there's this huge herd of pigs. Why don't you let us go into the pigs? Mark gives us a little detail about the number of pigs that were in that herd. 2,000. 2,000 pigs. Now, some of you might say, how is it possible that there could be pig herders in the land of Israel? I've already said that this was predominantly a Gentile region. Now, we know that the Jews considered the pig to be an unclean animal. And the fact is, these Gentiles were considered to be unclean by the Jewish people. They were appalled, the Jewish leaders, the religious leaders, that Jesus was reaching out to the least, the last, the lost, and the lonely. Those on the periphery of society, the tax collectors and the prostitutes. But even more so, that he would have a message of salvation for the Gentiles? A Jewish man in that time would wake up in the morning and he would pray a prayer as he put his tallit on his prayer shawl and say, I thank God that you have not made me a heathen Gentile. And I thank God that you have not made me a woman. Think about that. Jesus came to undo that kind of thinking. Jesus came to remove the wall of separation, which I've already mentioned, between Greek and Jew, between male and female, between slave and free. That is the reconciling work of Jesus Christ. And you know what he's showing to his disciples? Even though the disciples are not mentioned in this text, they're all observing this. It's as though Jesus is saying, watch and learn. And that's what he's saying to us today. Watch and learn. The king is in your presence. And where the king is, all evil must flee. So they enter into the pigs. This sermon is entitled The Bay of Pigs. Did you notice that? Now, if any of you know your history, you know that the Bay of Pigs was a moment in American history in the 1960s where one human government tried to overthrow another human government, and they failed utterly. If we're going to do this work of the kingdom in the flesh, we're going to fail every time. You understand that? If we are not standing in the presence of the king and operating out of the fullness of his kingship, we will fail. Because it is by the authority of Jesus Christ that we are able to cast out evil. I love this story in Acts because Luke writes this whole story about how the gospel goes forth. And they go to the city of Antioch and Iconium. And they declare the good news, and many, many believe. And they walk, Barnabas and Paul, in the joy of the Holy Spirit, in the fullness. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Our call to worship was full of joyfulness. My brothers and sisters, this should be the hallmark of our Christian faith, that we walk in joy. And if you're not walking in joy today, ask. We have not because we ask not. With genuine heart, say, Lord, I'm heavy of heart today. I'm not experiencing the joy of the Lord, which is my strength. God, please give me the joy of the Lord. Now, the thing that's different about the Bay of Pigs and what happens here in this particular bay where the pigs drown is that this is the kingdom of God, the king who has come, and he is overcoming the evil work of the enemy, undoing all that is wrong. Now, I think it's curious that he says, go. And sure enough, Legion departs from these two men and possesses this herd of swine. Now, if you've ever been to Israel, and even if you haven't, perhaps you've seen pictures, you'll see that the Sea of Galilee is actually below sea level, 600 feet, and the mountains rise on one side of that. And this is exactly that place. So you can imagine in your mind this herd of swine rushing down the hillside headlong into the waters, into the Bay of Pigs. And they all die. Now, someone in our Bible study said, what happened to those demons after they had destroyed the herd? Where did they go? We don't really know. But another theme in the book of Matthew has been the already but not yetness of the kingdom of God. We get this foretaste of the kingdom of God, but we don't receive it in its fullness until the very end. Here's my interpretation of that. Jesus is giving the demons, legion, a foretaste of what is to come. The already but not yet kingdom. There you go. Away you go. And I do not believe that Jesus allowed legion to then go around wandering and demonize other human beings. Because he has come to declare the year of Jubilee. Jesus has come to declare freedom to the captive. And that's exactly what we see in this text. We see these men, again, saved. We read that the pig herders went into the towns and said, you got to know what just happened. And many people came out and they witnessed something very special. They saw these demonized men clothed at the feet of Jesus and in their right mind. Three beautiful things clothed at the feet of Jesus and in their right mind. And everyone noted, it says in Luke, that God had done a great work and healed them. And the Greek word for heal is save. Understand that in the healing of Jesus, of these two demonized men, that he saved them. Now, the people that came, it says there very curiously, they all asked him to leave. There was money to be made, and Jesus was messing with their economic model. 2,000 pigs. I don't have a price on that, but that's a lot of money. And Jesus is messing with their livelihoods. And Jesus is going to mess with our livelihoods. In any area where we have idolized our money, our possessions, our professions, Jesus is saying, will you bend the knee? Will you sit at my feet and learn from me? For he is gentle and lowly. And the yoke that he wants to give to us is light and beautiful. And yes, well-fitting. Yes, even easy to carry. Because Jesus is helping us. We're not relying on ourselves, but we are trusting in him. At the end of the story, you see that these demonized men say, we want to follow you. And Jesus says, no, I don't want you to follow me. I want you to stay right here. And I want you to share what the Lord has done in your life. Bloom where you were planted. This morning as I sat out on the porch, I was looking at the beautiful clouds, light clouds and light rain. And I was praying for a refreshing of the Spirit for each and every one of us here in this sanctuary. But I noticed something curious. I noticed something that I have noticed in the past. All of my beautiful nasturtiums had this very curious quality about them. There were little drips of water at the end of each of the veins. They had sucked in the water, and now they were exuding water. The technical term for that is guttation. Okay? It doesn't happen with every plant, but it certainly happens with nasturtiums, which I happen to like because they're beautiful and they're edible. So useful. You can garnish them on yourself. Think about it. That's a picture to me of what Jesus was saying. You have received salvation. You have received healing. You have received the living water that's flowing in your life and overflowing indeed. And I want you to share what the Lord has done in your life. And so these men went all about the Decapolis and declared the glory of God and how Jesus had healed them. Jesus, the Lord, the Son of God. Those three things are connected. Make no mistake, Jesus isn't just some do-gooder, some nice healer. Jesus is the Son of God who has power and authority as King. And the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdom of our Lord and of His Christ. Are you living into the reality of the King and the kingdom good? My brothers and sisters, share the good news. Share what Jesus has done, how He has saved you, how He has rescued you, how He loves you. Share the good news of the gospel wherever you go. For His good, for our good, and for His glory. Praise be unto the King.